Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on your Real Feel Good Radio, UK Health Radio. Well, we've got a blockbuster again today. We've got, for me, the best female flat jockey on the planet, Holly Doyle. We've got superstar racer, 21-year-old Heather Hadley, all the way from America, now in the Mazda MX Cup 5 Series. Hear from Heather about how her first couple of races have gone. And then we've got a bit going back from Anna Hopkin, Team GB swimmer, gold medalist and multi-medalist for us in the pool. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup and we know you're going to love it. Welcome to another brilliant sport and lifestyle biz here on UK Health Radio, your real feel-good radio. This week we have two amazing female guests, one from the sport of NFL and one from football. We have Abby Harris telling us all about the NFL Super Bowl last weekend, won by the LA Rams. And then we finish off with Elenia Priest, a good friend of us and of the show, telling us about her recovery after her ACL meniscus operations and how she plans or is planning to get back to playing soon. Throw in our SLB Sports Roundup, and we hope you enjoy the show. Well, everybody, back with me today is superstar flat jockey Holly Doyle. Hi, Holly. How are you?
Hi. Yeah, I'm very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, fantastic, thank you. Lovely to hear from you. Thank you again for your time. Yet again, as always, you're on the way to the races, because I know you've got a packed schedule. So, yeah, appreciate you giving your time up for us. Thank you. I just want to touch on, you know, you were injured the last time we spoke, which was a sad time for you. I know you like to be out riding. You're back now. So just want to touch on the injury, your recovery and your comeback, really. We'll start off, obviously, with the injury. We know you had an injury to your elbow. If you could just tell us about, you know, the detail of the injury, what actually happened to your elbow and your recovery and the hard work you put in.
Yeah, sure. I had a fall in the middle of January and ruptured both my ligaments and my elbow and fractured the joint and dislocated it. So that wasn't ideal and it took a while for things to get figured out what to do with it. My specialist in a month into rehab, they decided they needed to operate on it. So I had to have ligament repair because they were both completely ruptured still and not healing. So I had that, and then I was pretty not in a great way for a few weeks after that. But when I was able to come out of the sling, it was obviously a lot better and turned the corner. And I was back riding last Friday, so I've been back riding a week now. But I've basically done rehab for the whole 3 months, so, and had physio every day. And Oaksea House were really good with helping me get back.
That's lovely to hear and great that you're all well. If I could just touch on the decision that's made. You said that a month into the rehab, they decided you needed an operation. Obviously, that's what they thought was best, to go without an operation. They wouldn't choose you down that route if it wasn't best. But is it something they sit down with you and you decide together? Or is it something you put totally in their hands and, you know, you totally take their advice?
Yeah, no, I had no say in anything, really. I was just doing what I was told. I was a bit confused as to why I wasn't just going to have it operated on, because it was quite a bad injury, but they thought that it would heal itself, and because I wanted to be back for the summer, they thought it would be quicker to just let it heal naturally, but obviously it wasn't, so then they did the operation. Since they did the operation, it actually was healing very quickly.
Yeah, and the reason for the question, really, is when we spoke before, you were telling us how bad it was, and it was just a wonder as to why, that, as you just alluded to them, why they didn't go down the operation route immediately. But as it is, you know, they say things happen for a reason. You got the right operation, obviously. It's important. Knowing how important ligaments are in knees to footballers, elbows are obviously very important to jockeys. You know, it is a serious injury. You've made your recovery. You're all made of steel, we know that, because you're back riding already. You've been back for a little bit. The rehab and the physio was hard work, but obviously a necessity.
Yeah, I had to do it, really. Doing my gym stuff every day and keeping fit, because I didn't want to lose anything. I was surprised as to how much strength I did lose in my arm after the surgery, but that's typical, isn't it? But
yeah.
No, I managed to kind of maintain everything, so when I've come back, it's not been too hard. Obviously, I've still got quite a long way to go with my arm, as good as the other one, but it's really getting there, so that's good.
Yeah, that's really good. And you're right about the fitness. Just from my research and experience, they generally say with a footballer, if you train every day, like as a professional, if you miss a week, it's like missing 3 weeks, if that makes sense. So you clearly, obviously, as you said, you found it sort of surprising how much you actually lost in that time. But as we said, it's all good news. You're back now, you're fit and you're firing. Just a quick note on Tom, obviously your husband. He was injured at the same time as you, and it could have been quite a scary injury. And the people know racing knows that he's back in Australia and doing exceptionally well. Is he all fit and everything okay with him?
Yeah, and he's back riding. He had a big winner at the weekend. His injury, he had his operation the day after it happened, so he was pretty fixed up quickly, which was good. And then he came home for 3 weeks, did some rehab, and then went back to Australia to ride, and he seems to be doing pretty well now.
Yeah, he does very well over there. We've gone over it several times, haven't we? They call him Aussie Tom because I think they want to adopt him. But yeah, nice to see him win that big race for a third year in a row. But you're back in the winners. You had a winner on your first ride back, which generally happens, but it's always nice, isn't it? You've had a couple of really nice winners, but you had a nice winner on an old friend, Rainbow Dreamer, in the marathon, the all-weather championships at Newcastle. What was it like to get him over the line in such a big race?
Yeah, it was great. He's 10 years old now, so I've known him for a few years, and yeah, I've won a fair few on him, and he's been running well all winter, really, and he's never won at Newcastle, so he did deserve to really get his head in front. And good to be back in the winner's enclosure for Alan also.
Yeah, brilliant that he won. And, you know, as you said, he is 10. You've won plenty of races on him. I remember you won 2 or 3 on him quite quickly a few years ago. And that sort of got him to prominence in a way. It's surprising he hasn't won at Newcastle. You'd have thought that the long straight might suit his style. But he doesn't lose it, does he? There was plenty of fancied horses that all run pretty well, but he just came past them all and never looked like going to get beat, really, in the last furlong and a half.
Yeah, he's a good horse on his day, and they went very quick, and the pace set up collapsed in front, and he needs a good pace to weigh him at, and he stayed on well.
Yeah, you brought him with a great run, Holly. Lovely to see. And said you've had a few winners. How have you felt since you've come back? The arm all good? Your fitness generally good? Or is it now just finding that last few percent that you can only get by actual race riding?
No, exactly. Nothing compares to race riding, so I don't feel like I've been anywhere, really, which is weird. I obviously couldn't weight bear my arm for a few months, so yeah, Working hard now, back in the gym with my weight training, and then to be back to full strength.
Wonderful. And really, yes, we know how well you do on the all-weather, and you finished second, I think, last winter in the all-weather championship. But the turf's really where it's at, isn't it? You know, now you're at the level you are, you're looking at the turf races. And obviously the big ones really start in the next couple of weeks, don't they?
Yeah, you've got the Craven in 2 weeks' time, so that's where it will kick off.
Yeah, and you've got some rides, have you planned sort of during that period in the big one?
Yeah, I'll be riding every day, so...
Wonderful.
From now onwards.
Brilliant. So great. Yeah, you're at Kempton today, as we said. One thing I was going to ask you, obviously you're at Kempton, you've got a couple for Archie Watson, I believe, who's your main trainer. You've obviously got your owner link with Mohammed Al-Sagar. I know you've ridden a long time for Alan King. Sometimes, you know, if you stand still or if you get injured in a sport like racing, someone can come in and take your place. I know you said you felt like you haven't been away, but have you just blended back in with your old connections and the rides are just going to keep coming?
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. I've got plenty of support, so then the people that have used me before have stuck by me. Obviously, people do try and jump in your grave when you're not there, but I've been pretty lucky.
Yeah, you can say that. Yeah, they do. I suppose that's just being a professional, I suppose. But
yeah,
it's lovely to hear, because obviously you are a brilliant jockey, Holly. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing you go through the summer, having plenty of winners, more Royal Ascot winners, hopefully another classic winner, and some more group ones. We know you said you had a couple to look forward to, one from Ahmed at House Cigars, which is obviously a very nice one to look forward to. Any big targets for you again, or is it just your normal, I just want to ride as many winners as possible?
Yeah, you know, obviously riding winners is what drives me, but yeah, I want to ride some big winners and keep finding a good one each year.
We'll take the classics out of the way, because we know everyone wants to win a classic, and it is difficult. You could ride probably the second best horse in the country, or that sort of, if you know what I mean. And you could finish second in all of them, but you're still not going to get that classic win. But is there any that you haven't won, say like it's a normal group one or a normal group race, that you really would like to win for any reason?
Obviously everyone wants to win the Derby, but going to find the right horse, haven't you? But that would be the dream.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's the pinnacle of everyone, isn't it? If you get a Derby winner, obviously that can lead on to King George, Art, can't it? You know, loads of big races. So yeah, I just want to leave you there, Holly. I want to let you get on. As I said, we know you're on your way to Kempton, so we appreciate you doing this. And just want to say thank you for your time. Have a wonderful season, and it's lovely to see you back. Be safe, be successful, and hopefully we can catch up with you soon.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Cheers, John.
Thanks, Holly. Take care.
the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, everybody, with me today again, I'm delighted to say it's our good friend all the way from America, Heather Hadley. Hi, Heather, how are you?
Hi, John, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Absolute pleasure. Always is a pleasure. Always get loads of viewings because it's so interesting talking to you. You know, a female racing car driver making big waves in the sport. Last time we spoke, Heather, you decided to go to the MX5 Series Championship, which was a different style of car, an upgrade on what you were doing, driving under the IMSA name, taking in loads of tracks that you would not normally do. Tracks that are well known to people in the UK. So very exciting season. But take us back to the start of the year. Tell us a little bit about the MX5 Cup and any exciting thing that happened before your first race in Daytona.
Yeah, absolutely. So at the beginning of the year, we raced at Daytona in January. It was a bit of an overwhelming experience because this track is something that I've kind of just looked at from afar and admired since I was the 9-year-old girl that first started racing. And so it was, I would say, a full circle moment for me where I have Mazda Motorsports backing me and there with me supporting me, and they were helping me at the age of 12 to promote me, and they invited me out to Laguna Seca to speak at the SCCA runoff. So it was just awesome to see this kind of full circle moment where I was here racing with Mazda at Daytona at this historical prominent racetrack, and it was just an amazing experience overall. And I did make great progress on the track over the 2 days, but unfortunately I did get caught up in an accident. Somebody had spun coming out of the bus stop and kind of threw dirt all over the track, and so the driver ahead of me got caught up in it, and then I got caught up in it. So it was an unfortunate end to a great weekend, but yeah, it was just very awesome to have that moment for sure. I will remember that.
No, fabulous. And it really shows how far you are down the line, Heather, because you said you got overwhelmed a little bit by racing at Daytona, and who would? That and Indianapolis are probably the two iconic circuits, and you get to race there, and it's your first race as well. So you haven't even had time to settle into the car, or race in the car, I should say. You're thrown in at Daytona. The fact is, you were unlucky, as you said, not to finish where you wanted to finish, but you still consider that, do you know what I mean? Not failure, but you're still disappointed with that, rather than just being, I raced at Daytona, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? It just shows you your drive, your ambition, and why you're so successful.
Yeah, I think it's always important to keep challenging yourself and pushing for better results. But at the end of the day, I was just super happy to be racing at that track, and for my first time in this series and one of my first times in the car, I would definitely call it a win.
Fantastic. And why wouldn't you? I mean, as you said, Daytona, an amazing experience it must have been. Tell us about the other tracks that you're going to visit during this MX5 series.
Yeah, so we just got done with St. Petersburg in Florida, and we have coming up in May, we have Laguna Seca in California.
Yeah.
And after that, we go to Watkins Glen in New York and VIR, Road Atlanta and Road America. So we have some very exciting tracks that I'm looking forward to getting some experience on. Yeah. It's going to be tough to have to kind of go through that learning process at each and every one of these tracks, since I have never been to any of them before.
Absolutely. But I'm looking forward to it. I mean, how exciting is that? You know, you said VIR in Virginia, you've got Road America, Watkins Glen, Laguna Seca, as well as Daytona. I mean, how excited must you be for this year?
Yeah, I would say this year is absolutely the best year of my racing career so far. It's just, I can't put it any other way than just an amazing opportunity. That's really what it is, because the opportunity to get the Mazda Women's Initiative Scholarship at the MX5 Cup Shootout last year has really just opened all of these doors for me and made it possible. And so, yeah, I cannot thank Mazda enough, because racing at these historical tracks, these amazing tracks that I've watched since I was a little girl, is really just awesome.
Yeah, amazing. And we'll come back to how you did at St. Petersburg and your plans for, you know, the rest of the season, how you can see yourself going, how your first experience was in the MX-5 Cup. You did mention the Mazda Initiative Award. Tell us a little bit about that, and was it an award that you actually won?
Yeah, so it's a scholarship, and they offered 3 scholarships at the MX-5 Cup shootout last year, which was a 2-day event where they invited, I believe, 12 drivers to kind of just evaluate them based off of on-track and off-track abilities. And so they kind of were looking at how interviewed and how just we're like as people, our public speaking abilities, all different types of off-track things. And then they also evaluated us on our on-track capabilities, whether we were able to put down a fast lap time, whether we were able to be consistent. So all of these things kind of they were looking at. And at the end of the 2 days, I was lucky enough to be awarded the Women's Initiative Scholarship. And so that's $75,000 in total contributing to this year's season in the Mazda MX-5 Cup Series. So it's a big, big help and yeah. Is the reason I'm able to do this.
Yeah, a big, big chunk of money. Not even, I don't think, half of what you actually need, but a big chunk of money. Obviously a great weight for you, because I know your mum and dad and your family are amazing towards you, but I know you do tend to feel like a little bit of pressure of racing for them. So it must be nice for you to actually go into the season without that over your head, if that makes sense, to know that you've got the season going, you've got this great initiative that's helping out tremendously. I don't know if that's helped you with your racing, if that's helped you, you know, just in general life, have a little bit less on you. But I can only imagine how pressured your life is with schoolwork, with gym work, with getting to know the car. And when it comes down to it, every time you race, you put your life on the line. Yeah, tell us about how you're feeling about this year. Tell us about how you're feeling in yourself.
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling like I'm getting a little bit more comfortable in the car and in the series, racing against these drivers. It takes me a bit normally to acclimate to these types of things. And so I think I did a pretty good job at adjusting to this entire experience at the beginning of the year. But yeah. Now I'm definitely, I think, fitting into the grid a little bit more. And I'm just really excited to start moving up through the field and hopefully get a podium finish or two by the end of the year.
Yeah, no, that sounds perfect. So until that unfortunate incident at Daytona, how was the weekend going?
It was good. It was good. Yeah. The first race was challenging, to say the least, because when you kind of lose your drafting partners, you just kind of drop back.
Right, yeah.
Very, very quickly. So, but it was a big learning experience. That's absolutely what it was from the very beginning. And I just keep learning so much at each one of these weeks. Thing in the second race, and I was definitely moving forward, which I was very, very happy with. So yeah, it was just unfortunate how it ended, but I was still very proud of my progress throughout the weekend.
Absolutely brilliant. And obviously you had to set aside the tingles. I'm sure you got the tingles as you drove through gates. Do you actually drive underneath the tunnel? Did it actually start to hit home, or did it take a little while to sink in?
I think long before we actually got there, I kind of realized, like, wow, this is a really big deal. Yeah. This is on a big scale. We're racing at the Rolex 24, which is one of IMSA's biggest events of the year. And for that to be like my debut in a professional racing series, yeah, I was definitely feeling the anxiety from it the first few weeks, even before it happened.
Right.
But yet, like, the weekend of was definitely a bit overwhelming, just because there were so many obligations that I needed to kind of get to and meet that didn't even have to do with being on track, which right. I guess I didn't realize. So yeah, just kind of taking that all in was a lot to handle. At the end of the day, you're just trying to get the best results on track and you're trying to focus. And so I think that's what made it difficult. But yeah, I think it was good preparation for the rest of the year, that's for sure.
Brilliant. And again, that's another learning curve, isn't it? People don't actually realize. They probably think you turn up, do a bit of practice, and then it's your race. But as you're stepping up grades and levels, so in comes more media commitments and things like that, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. We had like a photo shoot the day before the first race, and we had a autograph session, and we had just headshots for Mazda, and it was just running all over the place. And, you know, it's just kind of difficult to really get your mind in a good headspace, you know, when you got a million things on your mind. But yeah. I think that that's just one of those aspects of racing in a series like this that I'm going to learn yeah. throughout the year.
You're signing autographs already, Heather. See, there you go. It is a big deal. Yeah, so we finished Daytona. We have an absolute brilliant time. We're improving minute by minute the more we're learning. Sadly, as you said, the end didn't quite happen as you wanted. But we've got confidence, we've got improvement, we've got learning. So we go down to St. Petersburg. How did that go?
St. Petersburg went great. It started off definitely challenging for it being my first street course.
Yeah.
And we also only had one practice session before we jumped into qualifying. We were supposed to have two. So that was kind of just an unexpected event that happened as well. So, yeah, but I ended up with a top 10 finish on the second race day. So that was really amazing to be able to accomplish that. And I had two of the top finishing female awards. And so it was a very successful weekend overall, I would say.
Sounds absolutely amazing. It just shows your ability, your talent, and your grasp of learning, if that makes sense, because it can't be easy. So absolutely amazing, Heather. So pleased for you.
Thank you.
The street course, is it the same street course they use for the IndyCar?
Yes.
Is it? So there you go. It's another massive deal, isn't it? You know, it's, you know, IndyCar's massive, isn't it? IndyCar and NASCAR are the two biggest ones. You're using the same circuits that they use. So it just shows you what a big deal this is. So yeah, we've got a grasp now of how big this is and how amazing you're doing. When's your next race and what's your plans and hopes for the season?
Yeah, so my next race is May 13th and 14th at Laguna Seca, and I'm very excited for that one because I will be going to California where I'm from, and so I'm hoping that a big chunk of my family is going to be out there, so it'll be a good time, that's for sure. And then for the rest of the season, yeah, I'm just hoping to make progress at every single race. I'm hoping to learn a lot at each one of these events, and I'm not trying to put too much pressure on myself, but I am also trying to make all the people who have supported me and invested in me and put time in me, I'm trying to make proud. So yeah, I definitely want to get a podium finish in the top three and win Rookie of the Year. That would be the most ideal result to this year, that's for sure.
That would almost be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Not again, because you don't deserve it or you're not good enough, but just in your first year, if you could achieve that, that's just surpassing anything I'd have thought.
Yeah. I think that this is an extremely competitive, close racing series. And so to jump in it and do really well is very, very difficult ask. But yeah. I'm hoping that with the support system that I have around me, I am going to be able to make up a lot of ground throughout the year, and definitely hoping for that podium finish.
Yeah, and we know how you can make up a lot of ground. I remember going back a couple of years when you first went to Charlotte. It took you a bit of time to adjust, but you found out that the drive shaft, is it, on your car was broken, and you were still doing really well considering that. So, you know, it just shows that you've got everything. I just can't wait to see how you go through the season. I mean, what we'll do, Heather, is we'll definitely chat to you before your race in May, and we'll do regular updates for the listeners because they do wonder how you get on. You are a trendsetter, and there's a lot of young girls that I work with and that listen to the radio that actually get inspired by what you do.
Oh, that's so great to hear.
So, Heather, for today, I'm going to say thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to have you on the radio, and we will catch up with you very soon. And I hope the testing that you're going to in Atlanta this weekend, I hope that goes well.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to having another update here in a few months.
Brilliant. Thanks, Heather. You take care.
You too.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, everyone, back with me today is the brilliant Team GB swimming gold medalist, Anna Hopkin. Hi, Anna, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, no problem. It's an absolute pleasure of mine, and especially the girls, but all the listeners, they love listening to you. You're an Olympic champion, you're a multi-gold medalist, and obviously all colours. So, yeah, it's an absolute pleasure for me. So thank you. Just quickly, before we go on to things, you spent Christmas in Australia. How was that?
Yeah, it was really nice. It's kind of just worked out in terms of having a competition just before Christmas in Australia and then having a training camp that started 1st of Jan. So obviously it's a long flight, so it wasn't really worth going back and forth over Christmas. So it meant that a couple of us stayed out and spent Christmas and New Year in Australia, which was really nice. We kind of travelled around a bit, did Melbourne, Sydney, Sunshine Coast, and then Gold Coast, which is where the camp is. So it's obviously a bit different and a bit weird being away from family, but yeah. Obviously it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, so definitely took it.
I was going to say that, obviously, it's perhaps a little bit weird not spending Christmas with the family, which is what I know you're used to, but a warm Christmas and something you might not experience again.
Exactly, and we kind of did a little family Christmas before I left, did presents and Christmas dinner and everything, so it felt like we had that kind of family time, which was really nice, and obviously FaceTime the family when we were out here on Christmas Day, so obviously different, but still a really nice day.
Lovely to hear, and I'll just let you know, which you're probably aware of anyway, in speaking to your family, that we've got the Christmas weather here at the moment. It's been cold all week. I think it was -5 yesterday.
Oh no. Nice being out here knowing it's so horrible back home.
Absolutely. As I say, it is January, and to be fair, we're due it. We had a really good year last year for weather, so we're probably due a little bit of payback.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we have had a bit of rain here today, so it's not all sunshine.
No, people don't want to hear me talking about the weather. Obviously, I want to hear about you and how you've been doing. First of all, if it's okay, I'd like you to reflect on 2022, really, your swimming. You had 3 championships, as we know, and then the Worlds, obviously, you said just before Christmas. You won 7 medals. That's amazing. 1 gold, 3 silver, and 3 bronze. What a brilliant year. Just reflect on it and tell us, you know, how your emotions have been through the year and how you felt that you've achieved.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking back now, obviously 7 medals is a pretty good haul, and would have been nice to get one at the One Course Championship just to get the full set, but obviously there's more opportunities to try and do that. But I think overall it was a really successful year. I got a lot of racing, raced some really high quality swimmers, and obviously our relays did really well, got a lot of medals, and I think to end the year with the World Short Course Championships and get an individual medal, obviously that was kind of my aim for the whole year, so it was pretty special to end the year with finally getting an individual medal.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So, you know, as you said, you smashed the summer, you got 6 amazing medals, and you've completed the set almost, apart from that off one you said, but you've completed the set, got your individual medal, so what a fantastic year.
Yeah, I think overall it's been pretty successful, and also not exactly how I wanted it to go, but also we're still a few years out from Paris, so it's a long way to go, and we've learned a lot from sort of how we went into racing and things we would change, sort of things not going 100% to plan. So I think there's a lot of positives to take away from it.
Brilliant. And just to ask a quick question, were you injury free all year, or were you actually hampered by any injuries at all?
No, I was injury free really. I mean, get odd niggles, but they're always kind of, you know, get on top of them pretty quickly and make sure we're not out of the water for too long. A little bit of illness with COVID and stuff, but I think everyone experienced that. So yeah, nothing major.
And as you said, as a professional, when you do get a niggle, you just get on with it, don't you? I think your body's trained to sort of just get on with it.
Yeah, and I think you start to realise the signals that your body's sending you when you are like, okay, my shoulder's twinging a little bit. And obviously let the physio know, maybe do a bit less pulling or focus more on kick for a little bit, let it sort of settle down, and then it's never going to get to the point where it becomes a big injury. So I think we're all pretty good at just staying on top of things.
And that's a really good point, Anna, because obviously you're still young and you've got a long career ahead of you, touch wood. It means you mature even more as a swimmer and as a professional athlete. You said that it's important that you go to the physio as soon as you feel something. We always hear about footballers and other athletes, oh, I've played through injury and now I'm out for 8 to 10 weeks. How important is that? Without this being an obvious question, how important is it to address these injuries and niggles as early as you can?
Yeah, it's really important, because I guess swimming, obviously different to football, we have a lot of repetitive, like, overuse injuries because we're just doing this movement again and again. So if you're already getting a niggle doing that movement, by just continuing to do that movement again and again, you're just going to make it worse. So then you just put in sort of rehab plans to strengthen the muscles that need strengthening and prevent injuries. Obviously you can't really avoid doing the swimming stroke, like, that is obviously what we do every day. So it's just kind of finding ways of realizing what the issue is and making sure you strengthen those areas so that you're a bit more robust and it doesn't get into a bigger injury. And we don't really have like high impact injuries like you would get in football, so you can kind of predict them a little bit more, which means you can get on top of it a bit quicker.
No, that's lovely, and it's a great thing to hear and for the girls to hear, because, you know, a lot of our girls are in football. We do have a golfer, she's 14, she's a brilliant golfer, she played all last year with a knee injury and she's finally got it straight. But, you know, obviously knees are quite important in a golf swing, but it's great to hear that someone who is young but a successful professional athlete, that you've already got that on board. So, I mean, that's lovely for them to hear. So thank you for that. That's a really good point. We're going to move on to 2023, talk about the bigger competitions, perhaps in 2023 and the ISL. But just before you do, Anna, you got an MBE this year, which must have been the most amazing, proud moment for you and your family. Could you just tell us what you felt like when you actually received notification you were going to get that, and then the day with you and your family down receiving the actual award?
Yeah, it was pretty weird. Like, obviously, I never expected to be awarded an MBE. And so you obviously get, like, a letter through that tells you you're going to be added to the Queen's Honours list. So that was, well, exactly a year ago, I guess.
Oh, okay.
It was, like, 1st of Jan 2022 that I got told, got added to the honours list. So I don't really knew ahead of time that I was going to be. But then because of COVID, there was a lot of backlog of people getting their MBEs, which took quite a while for it to kind of get to my day. Yeah, obviously, it was very exciting when we got the invitation to go. It was at Windsor Castle.
Oh, lovely.
So you get the invitation through and you can take three people with you and you all kind of to get all dressed up and go into the castle, and they don't tell you who's going to be presenting you until you're there. So I had Princess Anne, which okay. I think was really nice, with it obviously being for sporting achievements herself having achieved with equestrian. So she kind of knew the situation I was in and asked some really good questions about what my goals were in the future. And it was just nice to kind of speak to her, and obviously a very big honour to get that from her. And yeah, it was really nice to have my family there with me. So it was a very special day and just still quite surreal that I've actually got it.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, you've done amazing things in the pool. So, yeah, absolutely brilliant. I presume it's all like hush-hush, is it?
Yeah, well, I think I remember when I got notified, potentially like a month or so before they put it on the honours list, but then it gets announced on New Year's Day. So then that's public knowledge.
Who's
going to get an MBE or OBE or whatever. But then it obviously takes quite a while for you to get your award. Can't say anything until the honours list.
Fabulous. I understand. And I imagine your parents were extremely proud. One of their best days ever, I imagine.
Yeah, I think they were just a bit like, how are we here? What is going on? I think we're all a bit like that, to be honest.
No, it's great. Absolutely brilliant and very well deserved. We finish off this week's show with our SLB Sports Roundup, featuring golf, horse racing, cricket, tennis, motorsport, NBA and football. We start with golf. And on the PGA Tour, it was the Memorial Tournament from the Muirfield Village Golf Course in Ohio. It was a course that was created by the great Jack Nicklaus. It was won by Victor Hovland, the Norwegian superstar, coming through the field in the final round to finish on -7. However, he needed a playoff against the resilient Denny McCarthy, who also finished on -7 but lost on the first playoff hole. Third place, world number one Scotty Scheffler, won back on -6. This week, it's the Canadian Open from Oakdale Golf and Country Club, Ontario. The DP World Tour held the European Open from the Green Eagle Golf Course in Portia, Nord. And it was won by young Northern Ireland superstar Tom McKibben. Tom won on -9. Second place was a tie of three ways. Marcel Siem, Julien Gurrier and Maximilian Kiefer, two back on -7. This week, that tour moves to the Ulloa Golf Course in Sweden for the Scandinavian Masters. The LPGA was also back with the Mizuho Americas Open from the Liberty National Golf Course in New Jersey. And wow, what a winner. Rose Zhang, who'd been on the junior LPGA tour for so long but smashing it up, made her professional tour debut and won. Led going into the final round and held off a lightning charge by Jennifer Kupcho. They both finished on -9, with Rose Zhang winning it on the second playoff hole. Third was Hei Young Yu from China on -8. This week, it's the ShopRite Classic from the Stockton Seaview Hotel and Golf Course, using their bay course. That's in New Jersey. Horse racing, and it was the big classic meeting at Epsom last week, and the Derby, the big one, was won by August Rodin, who we did mention to you as one of the horses to look out for, ridden brilliantly by Ryan Moore, trained even more magically by Aidan O'Brien. This horse finished last in the 2,000 guineas only about a month ago. Come back to his best. They put it down to ground. Perhaps his experience, I don't know. But he was electric and could have won it further. The Oaks, well, talk about stories. Frankie Dettori in his final Oaks ever in his career as he's retiring this year, won it on the brilliant Soul Sister, giving her a beautifully timed ride from the back to give John and Sadie Gosden an Oaks. The day before, Frankie had the first of a Group 1 double when he won the Coronation Cup, also for John and Sadie Gosden, on the brilliantly talented Emily Upjohn. The French Derby also took place, this time from the beautiful course in Chantilly, and it was won by Ace Impact, who came under a great ride from last to first for JC Rouget. The next big race is on the 18th of June, and it's the French Oaks. Our recommended French 1,000 guineas winner, Blue Rose Sienne, is going, but also Running Lion, who we thought would run well in the English Oaks, but she bounced out the stalls and got withdrawn from the race. Then it's Royal Ascot, six for you to look out for the big meeting. Modern Games in the Queen Anne, Elite Status in the Norfolk, Eldar, Eldaroff in the Ascot Gold Cup, Little Big Bear in the Commonwealth Cup, Tahira in the Coronation Stakes, and River Tiber in the Coventry. Cricket and the England team had a one-off test match against Ireland in preparation for the Ashes. They beat Ireland by 10 wickets, Ireland 172 all out, Stuart Broad 5 for 51, England 524 for 4 declared, with new vice-captain Ollie Pope getting 205, Ireland replied with 362, a fifer for debutant Josh Tung, 5 for 66, leaving England just 11 to win, and Jack Crawley finished it off in 4 balls. However, one bad thing for England was Jack Leach, their good left-arm spinner, and has been an integral part of the new brand of cricket that England play. Misses the Ashes. He got a stress fracture of the lower back, and sadly, he's out for the whole summer. The Ashes starts on the 16th of June with the first test from Edgbaston. Tennis, and in the French Open, all four of our male fancies are still in the men's as we go into week two. Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, Hugo Rona, and also Casper Ruud. And only three of our four women are still in it. Iga Swiatek, Aryna Sabalenka, and Ons Jabeur. Motorsport. We start on two wheels with MotoGP. This week they are back with the Italian Grand Prix from Mugello. The World Superbikes had round five with the Emilia Romagna round from the Misano Marco Simicelli World Circuit. All three races were won by the man to stop, Alvaro Bautista, winning race one, the Superpole race, and race two on his Ducati Aruba IT machine. They've now had 15 races and Alvaro has won 14 of them. Second place in race one was Marco Ruben Rinaldi, his teammate, and Marco Ruben Rinaldi went on to take third in both the Superpole race and race two. Placings were filled up by Toprak Raksakalioglu for Team Yamaha. He finished third in race one and second in the Super Bowl race and race two. The overall standings are obviously led by Alvaro Bautista on 298 points. 86 points already clear of Toprak Raksakalioglu, with his teammate Andrea Locatelli back in third on 150. They're back round six on the 30th of June to the 2nd of July with a Prosecco Dock UK round. British Superbikes are back on the 16th to the 18th of June with round 4 and races 10, 11 and 12 from Knockhill using the full circuit. And the Speedway Grand Prix held round 3 with the Czech Grand Prix from Prague. It was won by Martin Vakulik. Second place back to form Leon Madsen. Third place Jack Holder with current two-time world champion Bartosz Szmarzlik in fourth. And that means Bartosz has just held on to the lead. He's on 50 points overall. Second place, Freddie Lindgren on 47. And third place, young Jack Holder on 42. They're back again this week with round four from Tetterau in Germany. NASCAR on four wheels. And it was the Enjoy Illinois 300 presented by Ticket Smarter at Gateway Motorsports Park. And it was won by Kyle Busch driving a Chevy Camaro for Richard Childress Racing. Denny Hamlin in his Toyota Camry for Joe Gibbs Racing was second, and Joey Logano, Ford Mustang for Team Penske, was third. The overall standings are still led by Ryan Blaney in his Ford Mustang for Team Penske. He's on 495. Second place, William Byron, driving the Chevy Camaro of Hendrix Motorsport, on 482. And third place, Kevin Harvick, Ford Mustang for Stuart Haas Racing, 473. They're back this week, the Toyota Save Mark 350 from the Sonoma Raceway. IndyCar, and it was a Chevrolet Detroit Grand Prix, a street circuit, and it was won by the most unlucky man last week in the Indy 500, Alex Palou, the current champion for for Chip Ganassi. Second place, Will Power, the veteran turning back the years for Team Penske. And third place, Billy Rosenquist for Arrows McLaren. The standings are led by Alex Palou on 2.73. His Chip Ganassi teammate, Marcus Ericsson, is second on 2.22. And third is Joseph Newgarden on Team Penske on 2.03. They're now back on the 18th of June with the Sunseo Grand Prix at Road America. Formula E had rounds 9 and 10 with the Indonesian E-Prix from Jakarta. Round 9 was won by Pascal Wehrlein for the Tag Heuer Porsche team. Second place, Jake Dennis for the Avalanche Andretti. And third place, Maximilian Günther for the Maserati Racing. Maximilian Günther won round 10. Jake Dennis was second in round 10. And Mitch Evans, a new one to the podium this week. Jaguar TCS was third. The overall standings are led by Pascal Wehrlein on 134 points. Just 1 point clear of Jake Dennis. And Nick Cassidy is third for Envision Racing on 1.28. Formula One, and it was a Spanish Grand Prix from the circuit to Barcelona. It was won in dominant style by Max Verstappen. Pole position, away from the start, dominated the race. 25 points and the bonus point for the fastest lap. Second place, well, an upturn for Mercedes. Lewis Hamilton was very quick in practice. Disappointed in qualifying. He had the pace to get on the front row, but only qualified fifth. Then promoted to fourth because of a grid penalty for Pierre Gasly. But he battled through the field to finish second. And third place is teammate George Russell, who went out in Q2 and battled through from 12th to finish third. Max Verstappen leads the standings for Red Bull on 170 points. He's 53 clear of his teammate Sergio Perez, with a further 18 back to Fernando Alonso on 99. Red Bull lead the standings clearly on 287 points. 135 clear of Mercedes, who have now gone into second on 152. And they are 18 ahead of Aston Martin, who are third. The next round is the 18th of June with the Canadian Grand Prix from the Gilles Villeneuve circuit. We finished off with football, and it was the FA Cup final, the Manchester Derby, and it was won by Manchester City. Manchester City 2, Manchester United 1. It was a pretty even game. But EK Gundogan scored after 13 seconds and then got the winner around a penalty that was scored by Bruno Fernandes that first of all equalised and then Gundogan getting the winner. Man City have a deserved double and now are in the Champions League final this coming Saturday against Inter Milan at the Atatürk Olympic Stadium in Istanbul to go for the treble. That's our SLB Sports Roundup. Well, everyone, thank you for listening to another great show. Three inspirational women on it. Holly Doyle, brilliant jockey. Heather Hadley, unbelievably, superbly talented Mazda MX-5 racer. And Anna Hopkin, going back and telling us about a swimmer for Team GB. Thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you also to Johan, Rafaela and the whole team at UK Health Radio for giving us this fantastic platform. We'll see you all next week.